Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
So tonight we're jumping into a new series, I've actually been very excited for. We were looking at it over this last year, planning this year's sermon series for recovery. It's a series on a guy named Samson. And Samson is sometimes talked about, more often than not, some of the later things in his life. Very cool Old Testament story, a story that really encapsulates a lot of the realities of failure, but also still being used by God. How does someone who has failed and has messed up, has sinned, has pursued everything apart from God, still end up being used by God? And so really excited about this series, really excited about how the Lord is going to use this time that we spend here. We're going to be in this series for the next several weeks. But tonight, we're actually not going to jump straight into the meat of the story of Samson. If you're familiar with that story, we're actually going to take a look at a little bit of Samson's origin story, really before he's on the scene, and what that origin story and how that origin story kind of applies to our lives as people who struggle with sin and struggle sometimes with comparison. And so before we dive in, let's pray together if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for the ways in which you guide and direct us. We're so thankful for the ways in which you show up in our life, in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that tonight, as we dive into your word, that you would encourage us, you would speak directly to us, Lord, and that you would remove distractions, remove excuses, you would remove anything that would hinder our response to what you call us to do. Lord, we love you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, we're looking at the story of Samson. So open with me to the book of Judges. If you know anything about the book of Judges, you know there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in the book of Judges. And really what it is there's this time where Israel, or God's people at the time, were constantly, during this time, crying out to God for help, and then being saved by God, and then completely abandoning God. And so God would give them over to the things in which they wanted or were seeking, which were those disobedient things and the ways of the world. And then they would once again cry out to God. God would save them. And then they would come back. And then they would go right back to that same old process of abandoning the ways of the Lord. And so we pick up in Judges 13 in one of these kind of cycles where at the time they were in captivity by the Philistines, or the group of people called the Philistines. And we pick up in this moment where we see a husband and a wife from the family of Dan. And we don't often hear about the tribe of Dan. Dan is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so here we have these exiles. They're in captivity by the Philistines. They're taken away from their land. And in this moment, God chooses to show up. And so we see this. We're going to jump around in Judges 13 a little bit. I will kind of try and tell you where we're going if you're following along in your Bible. So we're going to start in Judges 13, verse 2. It says this. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And so there's this moment, right, where the angel shows up and the angel gives this word of the Lord specifically to a little bit of a spoiler, is Samson's mom, and tells her basically, hey, I want you to avoid strong drink. I don't want you to cut this baby's hair. I'm going to talk about why that is in a second. And you have been barren, but no longer will you be barren. There will be a miracle that happens here. And so the angel leaves before Manoah, Samson's dad, has a chance to talk to him. And so Manoah goes and prays to the Lord that the angel comes back so that he can hear it for himself and that he can know exactly what's supposed to happen and confirm what was said to his wife. And God hears this prayer and he grants this request, this prayer, and the angel shows back up. Verse 17, the angel had already at this point shown up, confirmed what Manoah's wife had said. But then we see this, verse 17. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you? At this point, they weren't necessarily sure whether this was an angel or whether this was a person from the Lord. And so they were trying to figure out how to honor this person. Then verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. So there's a moment where they're like, oh my, this is the real deal. This is not some dude, some crazy dude who just showed up on our doorstep. This is an angel of the Lord, right? They offer this burnt sacrifice to the Lord, and the angel goes up in that sacrifice into heaven. And after this, from between verses 20 and where we're going to pick up in 24 here in a second, Manoah and his wife have this conversation where Manoah looks and he's like, we just saw God. We're going to die, right? Like, that is some serious business. We do not deserve to have seen God. And Manoah's wife is the voice of reason. She said, if we were going to die, we would already died, but we need to be really serious about what this angel told us about our son. That our son is destined to be used for the beginning of this freedom for Israel from the hands of the Philistine. And so I got to be really careful not to drink anything. And I got to be really careful to not cut my child's hair. We have to be really careful to make sure that our child does the things that they're supposed to do. And verse 24, we see this reality play out. And the woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And so we see the origin of Samson and his story is anything but mundane. His birth and the miracle that is his birth, right, is announced by an angel. There is this special interaction that happens between his parents and this angel. And then on top of it, it's announced that Samson was meant to be born as a Nazarite. Now, many of you may not know what that term Nazarite means. Essentially, a Nazarite is a vow, a special vow that is meant to be taken by Israelites to allow themselves to be kept clean for special service and devotion to the Lord. And so it went beyond the normal rules, the normal laws that the Israelites were under. Things like doing the ceremonial offerings and the different things that came along with honoring and serving the Lord. It went above and beyond. Things like exactly what it said here. You can't cut your hair. This would be my mom's greatest hatred if I was a Nazirite. She never, ever, ever, ever wanted me to have long hair. Things like you can't consume alcohol at all. Things like you can't go near or touch a dead body for any reason whatsoever. And so this Nazirite vow, really what it was meant to do was to keep you from becoming unclean so that you could be utilized and used for this special relationship with God. But the difference between how the Nazirite vow plays out in Samson's life and how it typically or normally played out is most of the time, the Nazirite vow was meant to be taken simply for a season or a short time in someone's life. It was not meant to be their whole life. It was only meant to be for a season. So if there was something, maybe a priest, or there would be someone who is in need of this relationship with the Lord, they would enter into this Nazirite vow for a time. They would designate how long that time was meant to be. And then at the end, they would go back kind of to their normal life. But the thing that is different here is God designates Samson as a Nazirite from even before he's born, right, in the womb, all the way for his whole life, that he is supposed to be utilized by God for this special purpose through his life. So much so that his mom can't consume any alcohol so that he does not break this Nazirite vow before even being born. And the idea behind this was that he was meant to be used for this special purpose, to have this special relationship with God, to be utilized by him for the freedom of the Israelites. That his role was to start this redemption process of God's people who were in exile. And we see that as he grows, that begins to happen in his life. The Lord blesses him. And so when we look at the life of Samson, we look and see, here's a guy who seems to have it all. When it comes to like what it takes to be a really deeply spiritual person, this guy seems to have exactly what he needs to become this great pillar of the faith. He's got special purpose, right? Beyond just the purpose of serving the Lord shows up and says, he has this special purpose from me to start this redemption process for the Israelites. He has godly provision, right? Immediately, his mother is barren and she is given this miracle that provides for Samson to simply be alive and come into this world. And so there is this supernatural protection and provision that he experiences. Even so far as he has wonderful parents who raise him in the ways of the Lord. They deeply understand what his calling is supposed to be, and they guide him and they help shape him into this young man who is supposed to follow and be godly. They went out, they worshiped the Lord, they followed his commands, and they helped their son be the man that God said he would become. I can imagine some of you in this room may be a little bit envious of Samson. It can be easy for us to look at Samson and be like, man, if I only had those advantages in my life. Man, I would have loved, before I was born, God to show up and tell my parents exactly what my purpose was on earth. Man, I would have loved to have some miracle show up And really, immediately from the get-go, me understand that God loved me and cared for me right away. Man, I would have simply just loved godly parents who would have helped raise me so that I followed the Lord. For you, it may seem like instead of everything being for you, that everything seemed to be against you. It can be easy for us as we walk through our lives, as we struggle with sin and we sit here and have to face the realities of the sin in our lives, for us to simply say, if only I had this. If only I had a better upbringing. If I only hadn't done these things. If I only had this thing to get me through right now. If I was only born into a wealthier family. If I only had these things or these relationships, or if I only, you know, had this need satisfied in my life, then I could be like Samson and have it all going for me. Things would be a lot easier and I would have grown up, or I would have become the person that I should have been. You may think this thought, if I had only had the things in my life that Samson had, it would have been a lot easier for me. I would be this wonderful Christian who wasn't dealing with sin, wasn't dealing with addiction. If I could just have these needs cared for in my life, me following Jesus would be a whole lot easier. I wouldn't have any fear or worry or anxiety. I would have everything I need to spiritually succeed. Because that's the reality for Samson. He had everything he needed to spiritually succeed. Special relationship with the Lord through this Nazirite vow that was provided for all the way before he was born. Godly parents, all these different ways. I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler about what's coming in the story of Samson. He does not live a perfect, sinless life. Really, he actually falls into massive failure, massive sin, massive betrayal. Even though he was set up for success, he found his way to evil anyway. The reality is, even though we may have certain advantages or disadvantages, we each pursue evil on our own. The reality is, no matter what advantages or disadvantages that we have in our lives, we will pursue evil on our own. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Here, Paul is laying out the reality of the sinfulness of humanity. That just because we had these things going for us in our lives, or we had these things not going for us in our lives, does not mean that we are exempt from the choices and the sin that we have pursued. So Romans 3, starting in verse 9, it says this: what then? Are Jews any better off? So the question that he asked right off the gate is, there's this difference that he looks and he says, the Jews were God's people, are God's people. They were given the law and provided for a way to follow the Lord through Abraham and the law and the Lord showing up time and time and time again. And the Gentiles, anyone who isn't Jewish, didn't have those things. And so the question was, what then, are Jews any better off? Is it better off for you to be a Jew than a Gentile? Because the Jews should automatically, they have all these things, and do they just automatically make it to heaven and figure it out because they have all these things and the Gentiles don't? Here's what he says. Start back at Romans 9. What then? Are Jews any better off? He answers his own question. No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. All the way of peace they have not known, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. And so there's this reality. Whether some have had advantages, some have had things, or some haven't, we all find ourselves uniformly evil. Uniformly sinners, sinners, people who have looked and said, God, here's what you call me to, and I will have none of it. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. I'll pursue my own things. And this idea of sin is things that are disobedient, contrary to God. And so we are all uniformly sinners, and we all find ourselves in sin and responsible for our sin. Even though our sin may look different, even though the circumstances of our lives may be different, our responsibility for sin is the same. And we look and we say, regardless of if we've had this totally easy life where we've had it all supplied to us, guess what? You would have still found evil. And the truth there is, as you still look for the mundane physical things and say, oh, if I just had this thing that that person had, then I would be doing a lot better in my spiritual lives. No, you wouldn't. Because look around, there are people that their bills are paid. They have money in the bank. They're not dealing with XYZ thing. And guess what? They're still lost. They're still evil. They're still in need of saving. And so the reality is, all of us, regardless of circumstances, regardless of our lives, are still sinners, and we will still pursue evil, each and every one of us. And we are still responsible for that sin. And you can say, wow, Pastor, this is a really encouraging message. Right? Here's this guy who had it all together. And we know, or we're going to see in these next couple weeks, the man still screws up and fails. What hope do I have? I say this not to discourage you, to be like, oh, I have no hope then. But I say it instead to challenge you not to live in the what ifs of life. Not to live in the if onlys of life. If I only had this, what if this hadn't happened? What if this had gone different? If I only had seen this or been there or had this money or whatever it is, fill in. Instead of living in the what ifs and the if onlys, to instead live in the reality of Christ. Amen. Why? We are all uniformly sinners headed to hell. And we've all been given an opportunity to be saved by Jesus Christ. Christ, seeing that we are all sinners, seeing that we all fell short, seeing that none of us were righteous, not a single one of us were righteous, he instead was righteous, and he went to the cross to take our punishment on himself. That we would suffer the consequence, or that he would suffer the consequences of our sin rather than ourselves. He went to the cross, he died in place, paying for our sins, and rose again, showing that he had conquered, paid in full, and was still Lord. And we're given access to this salvation If we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that he is risen from the dead. The reason why I share this is because some of you are caught living in the what ifs and the if onlys. There is only one if only. If only I am saved by Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you have not experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, there is nothing else that will satisfy you in this world. There is no money. There is no thing. There is no fame. There is no recognition. There is no person who will satisfy. There is no person that will fix your life. Christ alone is Savior. And so then we look and we say, well, okay, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and my encouragement to you is, you haven't, tonight is the night. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, what does that mean for you now? Turn with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, Peter is writing about the realities of being a Christian. And the realities of what Christ did for us beyond simply the forgiveness of our sins. And this is what we see here. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, going through verse 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so we look and we see Samson seemed to have it all and still fail. But the reality is, as believers today, as those of us who have given our lives to Christ, we truly have everything that we need. That's what he's saying here is, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. I'm going to say that again. You have everything you need for life and godliness through Christ. Some of you in this room are struggling to believe that truth. You look and you're like, oh, I fail all the time. Well, the things that you need are before you. The thing that Peter is reminding us of is, when you're feeling inadequate or unequipped to follow God, that the truth is, Christ has given you everything you need to escape the corruption in this world. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you his word to teach you and to guide you on how to live. He's given you a way to speak and hear from God in prayer. He has given you the things that you need. The reality is, you have to go to them. We sit and we want this thing and that thing to sit, to show up and to satisfy and to take care of our exact wants and plans. But what Peter is saying here is, the things that we want, the things that we fleshly pursue, the things that we want to satisfy, those don't satisfy. Only Christ Jesus does. And only the things that he grants us and only the things that he gives to us and leads us in, these things of godliness, these things of life, this way of glory and excellence, those things are the things that satisfy. And so in this sinful world, you may have advantages and disadvantages according to the world, but sin is still the reality. But in Christ, we have exactly what we need to deal with sin. We have exactly what we need to pursue the Lord. We have exactly what we need to grow in his word. God has provided to us all the things we need. And so the question is, will you respond and follow him? And so tonight, my encouragement to you is to live in this reality. To stop looking everywhere else for satisfaction. To stop looking everywhere else to the what ifs and the if onlys. But instead to look to Christ for the things that he calls us to. So as we close tonight, we're going to have a song. There'll be table leaders down front. They'd love to pray with you. They'd love to encourage you. They would love to help guide you in the ways in which God is showing them and teaching them how to follow him. Maybe tonight you're looking to say, I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I want that satisfaction. I want that salvation. They would be more than willing to talk to you about the gospel. They'd be more than willing to pray with you and help lead you through that process of asking the Lord for salvation. But I think one of the most beautiful things as we close tonight in this picture of Samson and the things that he had versus the reality of what he pursued is that tonight, if you're feeling, like I said, unworthy, unequipped, that you can know through Christ Jesus, he will provide everything you need. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we ask that you would challenge our hearts. Lord, that so often we get caught up in the what ifs and the if onlys. Lord, we get so caught up in justifying our choices, justifying our sin with the circumstances that surround it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly accept responsibility for our sin, that our evil is our choice and our pursuit. Lord, and that we would seek you for forgiveness. We would seek you for redemption. Lord, I pray that tonight, as some of my friends in this room are struggling, some of the people in this room are feeling discouraged, they're feeling in need. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see what their needs truly are and that you satisfy those needs. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to turn to you and that we wouldn't be concerned with the mundane, but instead we would be concerned with that which you offer and guide us with. Lord, we love you. And we thank you so much for the gift of salvation. It saved us from the corruption of sin. Lord, we love you in your precious and holy name, Jesus' name. Amen.